But first, an author who focuses his attention on the Chinese immigrant experience. Ha Jin knows a few things about immigrating to America. In 1985, he left his native China to attend Brandeis University. As a writer, Ha Jin has kept a literary eye trained on China. He's taken the Chinese experience and rendered it for American readers. Ha Jin's new book of short stories, A Good Fall, is set in one of the most American of cities, New York. Flushing, Queens is home to one of New York's largest Chinese immigrant communities. In painting the portrait of this slice of society, Jin considers many generational perspectives and characters who are trying to discover their place in America. Ha Jin joins us from our member station WBUR in Boston. Thank you so much for being a part of our show today.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
You know, I have been your fan for years, and I spoke with you a couple of years ago about your book, A Free Life. And this was a novel about a young man who flees communist China in the 1980s, and he comes to the United States to study political science. And Nan Wu, the protagonist of this book, has been dreaming of this freedom. He reads poems, and it was lovely to learn that these were poems that you actually wrote in this really lengthy, over 600-page book. So might I just go back to a lesson to that classical immigrant dream of freedom that these poems embody?
You must go to a country without borders, where you can build your home after for gallons of words, where broad leaves shade familiar faces that no longer change in wind and rain. There's no morning or evening, no cries of joy or pain. Every canyon is drenched in the light of serenity. You must go there quietly, leave behind what you still cherish.
So what I love about this is the whole notion of building your home out of gallons of words. And that's kind of what you have tried to do for these characters, because there's so much tension between cultures in this collection of stories, between each other, between their dreams and expectations, between the desire to assimilate and the really hard task of foregoing heritage, which is in a way impossible, isn't it?
Yes, a big struggle for every one of them. I think in essence, the main character in this book is in the struggle of looking for home, the first generation of immigrants. That's why it's very hard for them to feel at home. So that is very difficult. Even if they have a place to stay, but they don't have the feeling of being home.
Right. And of course, the way that the new world collides with the old can be as slight and yet somehow tethered as the internet. The collection begins with a story that takes place between two sisters over the internet and then goes into what happens when people really move in to the immigrant's home. Tell me about the characters in The Crossfire.
Oh, sure. The mother in that story can be somebody, a messenger from the native land, so the values are different. And so in that case, I think the clashes between the two places, the old land and the new place, become intensified. There was no way to reconcile.
This is a story in which the character is, am I pronouncing it right, Tian Chu?
Yes.
His mother has decided to come for an extended stay from China and has decided that his wife, Connie, is completely wrong for him because she won't cook.
Yeah, it's an old story. I think I have a lot of Jewish friends that will say the same thing. And the mother-in-law will say, no woman is good enough for her son. That's an old story. But in this situation like this, it becomes more manifest.
This all comes to a head in this family at this really tense dinner. The husband, the moment he got home, he went into the kitchen. He was going to cook a spinach soup, steam the eggplant, and fry the flounder. As he was gouging out the gill of the fish, his mother stepped in. Could you pick it up from there?
Let me give you a hand, she said. I can manage. This is easy, he smiled, cutting the fish's fins and tail with a large scissor. You never cook back home, she stared at him, her eyes glinting. What's the good of standing 6 feet tall if you can't handle a small woman like Connie? She often said. In fact, he was 5'10". He nudged his side of his bulky nose with his knuckle. Mom, in America, husband and wife both cook, whoever has the time. Connie is swamped with schoolwork these days, so I do more household chores. This is natural. No, it's not. You were never like this before. Why did you marry her in the first place if she wouldn't take care of you.
You know, who wouldn't just love having a relative visit like that?
That, I think, again, is normal. A lot of the details, in fact, I read them in newspapers, internet. Most of them, the complaints always came from women, but I never heard men speak about these things. That's why I got the idea. What if the story was told by a man?
And he becomes desperate to restore tranquility in the house, and without completely giving it away, can you talk about the measures to which he's willing to go?
He has to surprise or shock his mother with wrong piece of information that he have no job anymore. So as a result, she believed that he was totally bankrupt. So I think that's, again, there is based on misconception, a misunderstanding, because most people in the native lands would believe that the new immigrants could pick up cash right and left. Everybody would be rich, and it was not like that at all.
What is it about Flushing, Queens, that made it the natural setting for this collection of stories?
Flushing is the second biggest Chinatown in New York City. It also is inhabited by most recent arrivals, not only Chinese. There are a lot of Koreans and European immigrants as well. So it is a vibrant place. In fact, in the beginning of 2005, I was invited to a conference held in the center of Flushing. I was very touched by the scenes on the streets. So that's why I decided to set all the stories in that place.
If you're just joining us, I'm Jackie Lydon, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm talking with the author Ha Jin about his new short story collection, A Good Fall. Mr. Ha Jin, I'd like to ask, I have read very lengthy books of yours that cover a lot of geography, war trash, of course, waiting, and a free life. This is a compressed piece. This is like, instead of a big canvas painting, a really compressed, small mosaic. Why did you decide you want to do short stories?
I do feel that, in fact, I'm a better short story writer.
You feel that way?
Yeah, I feel that way. Before this, I had written three volumes of short stories. Each book was set in one place, basically. They are all not linked stories, but they are unified stories for a book. So this book, in a way, followed the same thing I had been doing. Short stories are closer to poetry. So very often one has to compress the stories in order to make it more concise and more poetic in that sense.
It's almost fun, too, when one reads your work, to wonder how much of, in your case, I do this perhaps more than with other authors, how much of your own biographical experience is in it. I mean, you set a lot of these stories in the 1980s. You wrote your first novel or short story in English, I believe, in the mid-1980s, right?
Yes.
And then there was this story that we have in here, which you call Shame. Again, the generational divide between the old and young. A young man is working in between terms, young Chinese man, just getting some money in Manhattan. He's going to school out in Wisconsin, and a professor from China, his old professor, comes to visit and asks him, how much money are you making? And he's so impressed. This guy's just a garment industry worker.
Yes, that's, again, a common story, but it was not autobiographical. I never worked in New York at all. Really, it was different. But again, a lot of details were factual. That was also common when two people met. One of them from the native land would ask how much you make. That was very common. One thing in that episode, in that story, was very true. A teacher of mine came to visit the United States and stayed in the Chinese consulate. I went to visit him. I was not allowed to enter the consulate.
Really?
Yes, that was true. From there on, I had never set my foot in that building again.
Oh, you haven't? Have they invited you back at all?
They invited me, but I haven't. I haven't gone to that place.
Why did they tell you that you weren't welcome the last time you tried to go?
Not
there?
Because of me. It's all the visitors, the Chinese visitors were just denied access to that building.
In this short story, the professor believes, you know, we're just trying to get at some of how difficult it is to make your way in a new world and bring what you think is important. And there's just one little moment that sort of talks about the divide, in this case, not between old and new generations of Chinese people, but the visiting scholar and his American counterpart. The American professor gives the Chinese professor this beautiful book and collection she's written.
Yes.
And he gives her something kind of a little, shall we say, mass-produced?
It's a mahjong, yes.
The mahjong box.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the shameful moments for the student. But the professor couldn't feel it.
But the final shame, I think we can say it here in this one, is that this professor doesn't go home. He defects, stays in this guy's apartment, and leaves behind him work that was his best work on Hemingway. He was going to call it Hemingway in China.
Yeah, it's a secret project the professor aspired to do. But again, it was another bigger shame in a way, yes.
Because it really was shoddy.
Yes. Again, that was based on a fact. I know of people who did a similar thing. Not exactly the same, but similar thing.
When people emigrate or come to America, whether they decide to just go to school here and try and stay on or possibly just choose not to return home, what is the hardest jump? Is it letting go of the past or not being able to understand the present?
You know, all those are hard. The hardest is really to face your own life and be able to take that road. That's the hardest part, because it's a lonely road very often. Freedom also means uncertainty. And a lot of people who grew up in a different kind of a social environment very often can be frightened, intimidated by freedom.
Ha-Jin, it has been a real pleasure having you with us.
Thank you.
Ha-Jin is the author of the new short story collection, A Good Fall. He joined us from member station WBUR in Boston.